Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on AmyToyAmyToy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only. And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I'm your host, and today we have a fabulous guest who is going to be discussing some interesting topics about healing. His name is James Degnom. He is a health coach, Reiki, and BKP kinesiology practitioner who helps people take a holistic approach to their health by supporting their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs. James has authored a couple of books here, Solar Return, and that's Soul, S-O-U-L-A-R, Return, Solutions, S-O-U-L-Lutions, for Body, Mind, and Soul, and Why Meditation Works, A Glimpse Inside Your Mind and Brain, and writes a monthly newsletter on health and wellness to inspire and empower people to take responsibility for their health and well-being. And tonight we're going to talk about his fabulous book, Solar Return, and it's a spiritual taster for seekers who want to explore and gain insights about spirituality and a broader understanding of who they are and why they are here and how they can support their body, mind, and soul naturally. And some of the topics in the book are soul and reincarnation, solar return, self-discovery, the creator, the body and mind, the human energy fields, solutions, and that's solutions, S-O-U-L, to support the body, mind, and soul, and family constellations, ancestral healing. That's a really good topic. That's really cool, Claire. So welcome, James. How are you today?
Amy, thank you very much for having me on your show, and let's hope we have a great show tonight and share some empowering information to the audience.
Definitely, definitely. It sounds like your latest book I should get a copy of because I'm doing ancestral clearing now as part of my path of healing and recovery. So that's
a good idea, I think. You know, those ancestors have a big impact in our life, you know?
Oh, yeah, especially when you do a past life regression and you're like, it goes back how many generations? Damn. Okay. Yes, I'm goofy tonight. It's been a long day. So, James, that's okay, right? It's all good. It's
all good, as long as it's not bad, because there's too much bad stuff going on out there. We need some good stuff.
Yes, and I like to use a sense of humor to lighten things, because some of the stuff when you're doing like self-healing, to me, you can get into some serious topics or some serious roadblocks to get those issues out of the tissue. So, James, tell me a little bit how you got on this path of healing for yourself.
Well, actually, it probably goes back maybe 10 or 15 years. I was in a relationship, and it was a very short relationship, but it just ended very quickly. But you know, normally we have relationships, and they end, and they're painful, but we kind of carry on. But there was something about this relationship that was different, that when it ended, it was just a heart-shattering effect that I felt. I just felt like my heart was hit by a sledgehammer, and it just shattered into a million pieces, and there was such a fallout. And it really began to question my life on a much deeper level, and I really had to find answers of why this happened, this relationship. I kind of was getting different answers, and then one day I went to a tarot card reader, and I said, well, this relationship is going to continue, and she says, no, it's finished. Well, it will only be finished until this time as you say it's finished. But instead of feeling bad about yourself, you should go out and help people who are worse off than you are, and then you'll feel better about yourself. So really, from that point on, then I began to really start learning, and because I hadn't read any books or really got interested in health and wellness, was not even nowhere on my landscape at that stage. But from that moment on, then I got very curious of why this event happened. And I really started reading all kinds of different books on philosophy and God and relationships and all that stuff. And then I kind of got more interested in healing, and I became a hospice helper. And that was a good way to help people who's worse off than I am. So it kind of began from there, and then over many years, I began to eventually segue into health and wellness, where then I eventually became a health coach, and later on, Reiki practitioner, and then a kinesiology practitioner.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we usually have those wake-up calls. I've had three near-death experiences. I'm in recovery myself, 8 years, you know, as an alcoholic, you know. And that's when I really started doing the excavation work, you know, getting through the ruins, you know, digging underneath the city and seeing that there's something there. And, yeah, you have these things happen to you, and you're like, anything that gets you on the path, right? Anything to get you on the path of your own self-discovery and healing. I think that's what we're here for. But it's always interesting to experience those things, and you want to pull your hair out while you're going through it, but when you look at it, it's hindsight is like, oh, I learned a lot from that relationship, or I learned a lot from that experience, or, you know. So, you know, why did you write this book? What inspired you, the new book that you have, Soul Our Return? I had to spell it out for people, because I was like, people are going to be like, what is, it's S-O-U-L-A-R.
There's a term in astrology called solar return, S-O-L-A-R, which means sun return. So basically, on the moment of our birth, all the planets were in very specific locations in the universe, and the sun is at a specific point. And then every year on our birthday, at the exact same time, the sun comes back to that same exact point, and it's called a solar return. And then sometimes astrologers can plan out the upcoming year from that point on. But this is not about astrology. It's about a soul returning, which is a soul reincarnating. But I really didn't, when I wrote the book originally, I really wasn't even thinking of reincarnation. I think the word came to me one day. I was listening to Bonnie Raitt's song, and she had that song, A Solar Eclipse of the Heart. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, soul blocking the heart or something. And that was kind of the only thing. I still didn't make any connection to reincarnation. So, because originally I was thinking of a soul. The sun, basically, the sun return and solar return. The concept came as well when I was thinking about an analogy for meditation, because I previously wrote a book on why meditation works. And one day I was out in the park, and I write this in the book, and I was looking up at the sky, and I was thinking about meditation. Often we give the analogy of you're standing on a riverbank, and you want to be the observer of your mind. So you're on the riverbank, and you're looking at the river flowing. And there's all this debris flowing along, and you're saying, these are all my thoughts. And your job is to not get stuck into those thoughts. You just want to be observing of them. So then another day, I got this example, I was lying on the park. I was looking up at the sky, and I was looking at the clouds passing in the sky, and I was trying to get an analogy between the body, mind, and soul. So I thought, the body's kind of this solid object. And the mind then is kind of this infernal, ethereal thing. And our mind is like clouds that come and they go. So that's like our mind. But then I said, how do I put the soul into this analogy? And then I noticed sometimes that the sun would shine through the clouds. And I realized that the sun does not change, because our body changes every second. Our mind changes every second, but our soul is eternal. So realizing that the earth rotates around the sun, the sun does not move. So the soul then is the solar system of the planet, and the soul, our real soul then, is the solar of our body and mind. So then I had this analogy of the solar system and our solar system, which is our body and mind. So that's kind of the analogy. But I still hadn't the analogy. I didn't bring in reincarnation for another 2 months till I read a book that I'd read years ago. Called Journey of Souls, Life Between Lives by Michael Newton. And when I read that book again, I found it on a website that I never came across before. And I felt I must read this book again, because it all of a sudden comes in and I'm writing this book called Solar Return. So does reincarnation, does it fit into this book? So I read his book, and it really resonated so well with me that I felt it had to come in there, and that's how I brought it, reincarnation. And the soul returned in the soul reincarnated, because really, it's all about the soul.
That's interesting. Did you say Newton? You read it? Read
yeah.
his book? Yeah, I have his book. I've read some parts of it. I have to say I haven't read all of it yet, because past life regression, I believe. So, interesting.
Yeah, he takes a different thing. He doesn't focus so much. What differentiates him between, like, Brian Weiss's book, Many Lives, Many Masters, which has the case of Catherine, the whole central character in this book, the patient as well, and it's all about her. But he jumps into different lifetimes with her, basically. Whereas Michael Newton, he goes through the whole gamut of the moment of birth, the moment of rebirth. And the key thing is life between lives. So he takes you into the spiritual realm, and he tells you the whole scenario of what's going on there. It's a very interesting place, and there's a lot going on there with souls. They don't just go up there and hang out and then say, oh, let's switch this body and live again. They're up there, and they're reviewing their whole lives, and they got guides and teachers, and they also have these elders that they go with before. And they come back after a lifetime who ask him, how did your life go? Because you went to that lifetime and there were specific issues you came here to work on. Like your teacher asked you, how did you get on with your lessons? Did you learn them?
Mm-hmm. Boy, then I must have really screwed up the last lifetimes, because I came down here and I'm like, okay, what was I doing up there? Because I remember Sylvia Brown back, oh my God, it must have been in the 80s. She did about that too, where she's like, you're looking at this lifetime, what you want to learn. And I'll take a little divorce, I'll take a little bit of this, I'll take a little bit of that. And I said to my guides, I said at the time, I was like, what the hell was I smoking up there with you guys, okay? What the hell was I doing? And my guys are like, you ordered this. I said, I know, next time let's not order so much chaos. You know? I'm serious.
The next time, don't be smoking any weed up there. You're not really paying attention to your guides, you know.
You never know what they were smoking.
They're smoking some spiritual good stuff up there, some Nagshanta or something, you know.
Yeah, probably, you know, it's that they do in South America. I forgot what they call that, but, you
Palo Santo or some good stuff, you know.
Yeah, oh, Dave Anselm.
Some ayahuasca, you know, that ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca, yes. I was thinking that. I was like, probably doing the good stuff. And just, oh, yeah, I can handle this. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But you know what? Thank God. My birthday's coming up soon, so I did my solar chart, and it looks like it's gotten better every year, thank God. I was like, oh, good. I don't want to keep going through this stuff. I'll be smoking something self myself. Just kidding. Oh, my God. I'm serious. It's like sometimes I'm like, oh, my God. So what do you think the purpose of your latest book is for our listeners?
I think really it covers such a broad area. It's kind of it's like a spiritual taster, you know, if you ever went to those buffets where you can taste all kinds of different foods. So for the novice person who wants to step into the pond of spirituality and says, what's this all about? Yeah. It kind of covers a very broad range of approach, because I'm approaching the body of how you support the physical body, how you're going to support the mind, and how you support the soul, but also talking about reincarnation and also about self-discovery, which is very important today, I think. But also, I begin the book of my own journey, because I think it's important for people to know where I come from. I just don't come in talking about the stuff that, like, where does it come from? So I kind of tell about two events in my life, that I dealt with depression for many years, and then the relationship was really the key point there. And I think that relationship was there for a purpose, and I may have had a karmic debt to pay with this person. I may have to pay that off there. Or maybe this was the event that my soul agreed to with this person for me to get on my path, and I needed some major event, a really sledgehammer blow, to really wake me up, basically, and get me on the path, provided that I found insight from it. Because that's the key about, you say, with all your tragic events and, you know, difficult parts in life, the key is that we don't get stuck in victimization of saying, poor me, why did this happen? Instead, what's the deeper meaning? Because I think everything in life really is a teachable moment if we can see that. But sometimes it's very difficult. Like, you're in a car accident and you don't know why it happened. You're you're not fully there and present. So once you pull away from the event, then if you can really look at it objectively without the emotion charged thing, what is the lesson here and what can I take away from it to help with my development as a human being?
Yes, and I feel that the events that happened with my last near-death experience, which was a car accident, I wasn't on purpose, and I remember I was praying to my guides and angels because I had gotten out of a cultish religion of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I felt so numb inside and so dead, and I was praying for that, and I had suppressed my gifts, and they woke me up. They had a car accident. Great, thanks. And you got me up to the angels in heaven and at that life review that we talk about. And then, the alcoholism, which is in my family, there's a lot of addictive personalities in my family, and the ancestral healing, and really looking at that, event in my life of December 13th of 2009, when I said, what the hell am I doing to myself? Why am I drinking myself? Why, I'm supposed to be a teacher. And I call those, you're much crueler to yourself with a sledgehammer. I call it the spiritual 2x4 upside the head. Bam!
I know. It kind of reminds me of the movie Finding Joe, about Joseph Campbell, the hero's journey. And if you've ever seen that movie, there's this young boy, and he goes into this big parking lot, and there's a phone in the middle of the parking lot. And the phone rings, and it rings, and it rings. It's like the universe is calling you, and but he neglects it. He kind of walks away. But then the universe says, we're trying to call you. Yeah, it'd be a good idea to pick up the phone, because if you don't, we have to find other ways to send you the message, and it may be a lot more painful,
Oh, yeah, I've gotten many head injuries from that 2x4 upside the head.
You kind of remind me of John Holland, the medium, who himself was an alcoholic, and he also had a major car accident before he finally woke up, so he'd become a medium. So I think you might have something in common with him.
Yeah, well, I had the car accident in 2000, my last near-death, my third near-death experience, three times, okay? No, the first one was when I was very young, so that doesn't really count, but the second one was in my 20s, and then that happened, and I was like, really? You guys are kidding me, right? You want me to go back to this? Yeah. And they're like, yeah, this is your purpose. And you know what, though? We may not like it going through it at the time, but you really find your true purpose and passion in life. And that's the upside of that. And you help others with your story.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the key thing, because no person in eternity will ever have the story you can bring. It's like the Course in Miracles. Says you have your own curriculum to bring into this world, and only you can bring this curriculum to the world, and that's your job to bring it to the world, and you're not taking away from anybody else's, because you have a very important part to play in this unfolding of consciousness of you being here. So it kind of, the Course in Miracles says, not feeling bad about yourself, actually feel good about yourself and feel that you have a message to bring in, to share that with people, because it has such a big impact, even if it just impacts one person.
Exactly. So that's, I'm writing a book myself now about my holistic journey of healing the alcoholism. So, in that, and I don't really view myself as one, but, recovery takes a long time. For me, anyway. It took me a long time. It really did.
That's okay. I think it's a process that you just got to show up every moment, and it's like what Lao Tzu said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So we really just take one step after one step and just do the best we can and just keep moving forward.
Yeah, and then I have my personal guides and angels. If I even ever looked at something like that again, I'd get a spiritual 2x4 upside the head. I'm sure I'd get knocked. I'd be knocked on my, So, that's what. Seriously, I'm so grateful for it. Talking about your current book, what helps your book stand out from other books written on these topics?
Well, I don't think you have the information I put together. I cover many aspects. As I said, I cover reincarnation, self-discovery, who God is. I think that's a very important question, because I think God's got a bad rap, the creator. I think religion put a bad name on God there. I think even the word religion comes from a Latin word, religigan, which means to reconnect with God. But I think religious dogma gave a bad flavor to God, because God really is the creator. And the creator, we are a manifestation of that creator, that process, and the creator's acting out through each one of us, and we're having our own individual experience. So basically the creator is kind of expanding through us, and we're living our life, we're having this creative process. So anything that we see around is a manifestation of the creator, and we're one of these, highly on this planet, and here we're the most evolved species and beings, and also that form of consciousness in this planet. And it's so important that we honor that and become aware of our essence, because I think the, like A Course in Miracles says, you think you got many problems, but you really have only one problem, and that's your separation from God. And then it talks about love and fear. So you're either in love or fear, and fear is suffering. Fear is separation. Fear is duality. That's what the Buddha says, get over the illusion of the separate self, the ego, because that's creating all your suffering. So I would call spirituality more, I would call it spirit non-duality, because it's actually getting you out of dualism, and it's getting you out of suffering. It's getting you out of separation. It's bringing you back to oneness and wholeness. And God basically is love. And really, that's what we got to get there, because love is more than emotion. Once you go into the higher subtle bodies, it's not long. Once you go past the emotional bodies, no, there's no more emotion. So love is much higher than an emotion. It's really a cosmic glue, and it really is the essence of the creator. And that's what we got to reconnect with.
Very true, and I think the human mind overcomplicates and overanalyzes things and makes them more difficult than when, what you said, it's more simplistic. God is love. There's only two emotions, fear and love. That's every emotion falls under those two categories, and we overcomplicate things. It's time to get back to the basics. That's what I preach too. Like, time to get back to the basics, man, because our mind just gets right in the way of it, and screws it up for us. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, because our mind is such a powerful tool, and I think it's one of the greatest tools the Creator has given us. Because, again, you know, your mind can heal you, or your mind can kill you, which is basically the placebo effect can heal you, the nocebo effect can kill you, depending on how you use your mind. So your mind is a very powerful tool, and it's really the access, the portal, really, for you to access the higher consciousness through meditation and mindfulness, but also then by running your body. Like, the subconscious mind is basically what runs the processes in your body. So if you can kind of rein in the power of your mind, and basically through meditation and prayer and presence and mindfulness, then you control it. It's like you're on top of a wild horse or something. As long as you can take control of it, then you can direct which way the energy goes in it.
That's very true. That's very true. And like we talked about, there's some major events in your life that you discuss in the book. Why did you include those?
I think because a lot of people are, like, two things were depression, which so many people suffer from today, and also about the event in my life that people can maybe resonate and understand, like, going through their life that they shouldn't feel bad about it. Depression is a very kind of closed, closeted subject, but I think in recent decades has become much more open, more people are discussing about it, and it's very important. And it's nothing to be shamed about. In the past, you were shamed, oh my God, I think I'm insane. And the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, think about people have lobotomies and everything, but it's just a disease, and it's an illness. And people, you know, as you have a toothache, you wouldn't put off going to the dentist. And if you're depressed, and it's really messing up your life, and affecting your quality of life, then it's very important that you pay attention to it, because it can spiral out of control very rapidly. And in every day, I think of people who take their lives every day because they don't address it, and they feel ashamed and disgusted, and it can just overwhelm. It's like walking in a dark fog, and your life is totally distorted, where there are many factors that can contribute to depression. It's a very complex illness. So right now we're seeing through the digestive system, the microbiome, the bacteria in our gut now has a huge impact on our behaviors. So this is a new information that's coming across in the last couple of years. So it could be a digestive issue probably. So there can be many ways to get a holistic approach to it. You just can't take the conventional approach. And now we have energy psychology techniques that can also help.
Yeah, but I think it has to be a mind-body-spirit approach, like you mentioned. And, you know, sometimes you have an illness that you know, it is caused by the mind and caused by circumstances. So you have to look at the whole picture, not just one part of it. And that's where I think that people that get caught in the medical science, and I'm not blaming medical science, I'm just saying that's only a component of what people need to look at.
Yeah, I think we don't really look at the soul, and I think that's why with family constellation, it really kind of focuses on the soul, because I get this analogy of the body, mind, and soul are connected. This is a simple one. Imagine the body is the ocean, and oftentimes we might say the ocean is called a large body of water, and our body is 70% water, so that would be a good analogy. But let's say you have something happening in the ocean and all the sea life are dying, and there might be some bacteria in there or something. And you might think, oh, let's kind of kill the bacteria, we'll put some chemicals in there. It's like your body got this pain. And the doctor says, oh, yeah, we'll give you these medications, which are basically chemicals. And you put them into your body, but it's not helping you. And then you might say, okay, if the problem's not in the ocean, where else could be? You said, okay, what feeds the oceans? And now you realize there are streams and estuaries and rivers that feed into the ocean. So let's go up these rivers and estuaries and see if there's any problem up there. And then you go up there a couple of miles and see there's a chemical factory dumping toxic chemicals into the water, and then it's flowing into the river. So in this case, the rivers would be the mind. So then if you have your stinking thinking, negative thoughts, then that could be the analogy there. But sometimes you got to go higher. You say, what's feeding these rivers? And then you go way up to the streams and the lakes, and eventually you get to the ice caps, and that's your soul, because it's a top-down system. And if there's some soul trauma from past lives or whatever, that could be the major driving force. And you probably do, you do past life regression, so you see how that affects people's lives as well. So if you can see the whole picture and how they're all tied together, and then you support these different aspects of the person, I think that's a better whole approach, the holistic approach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yes, it's whatever gets you there, too. Sometimes you got to do different healing modalities and different journeys to help you get where you need to be for the next step.
Yes, I think just sometimes people are guided to different practitioners or healing or modalities, and that's a good way, too. You just get drawn to a certain type of modality, and it works for you. And I think people got to say, why am I drawn to this person? And that can be the person that can help them, you know. So I think people, if they can kind of tune into their bodies and their intuition of where they're meant to go and that modality resonates with them, then maybe they should focus on that.
Correct. Yes. And my modality, I'm not like, you know, you're a Reiki practitioner, so I'm a Reiki master too, but I really am not drawn to Reiki. I'm drawn more to integrated energy therapy, which is more working at the DNA genetic cellular memory level. So I like to get right in there because I think the DNA, I don't know, I what's your opinion on this, but I think the DNA carries a lot of the past life stuff, the cellular memory.
Well, it probably would be because it's kind of formed with light and energy, and of course, it's probably the beginning of life, and we know now through epigenetics that our genes can be moved by our thought processes, and which would come from the mental body, which is the higher aspect of ourselves. So if our thoughts, which begin in the higher levels of our being, those energy patterns can trickle down, and then they start hitting the physical body and getting into the molecular structure or getting into the DNA. And we know through epigenetics how the environment can switch genes on or off. And the environment could be our food. The environment could be our thought processes. The environment could be energy. So the environment has a huge impact on our genes. Our genes are just inside us. They don't know what's happening. But and genes in our body, if we have a propensity for cancer, and if there's a genetic pattern for us to have cancer in our genetics, it may never get switched on. But if there are certain factors in the environment, could be the catalyst or that gene to express itself as a cancer cell. So the environment now, we know through epigenetics for 10 or 15 years, is a huge effect on our genetic system, our genetic profile, you know. So we have to be aware that many factors can really impact our genetic profile. And that's why we've got to look at the body, mind, and soul. These all can be affecting it.
Correct, yes. And it's, like I said, it's all works together as a component. It's not like you go to the doctor and they give you that, which I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was telling me how many medications she's on at the age of 52 or whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, and then I'm going on this because this medication, you know, is causing this, and I'm like, oh my God, you need acupuncture, honey. You need something different to get you off of this stuff.
See, that's the thing. I remember in one of her books, Candace Park, who was a great neuroscientist and wrote the book The Molecules of Emotion, she talks about polypharmacy, where you have one medication that we study one medication. We don't study multiple medications of polypharmacy, of how they interact. And in the United States every year, 200,000 or 300,000 people die from the correct prescribed medication. People see all these great advertisements, everybody's happy, but they don't go into the magazines where they have these medications advertised on the next page, and you've got all the side effects, which is in font size 7 or 5 that you can't even read it. They don't want to read that, but they really should be aware that there are side effects, and you get stuck on one, and these are they affect the molecular switches in the body. That's all these medications, the chemicals affect molecular, but they don't get to the underlying cause, and that's the problem with allopathic medicine. It just treats symptoms. It doesn't get to the underlying cause of the symptom. And that's why the conventional medical model doesn't see the human being at the atomic energetic level where many of these issues can begin. And that's why acupuncture or working the chakras, which are in the etheric body, which is the energetic template for the physical body to develop, is often the problem, you know?
Oh, definitely. I see it a lot. Before my father passed away in 2013, and I remember going, he was sick 2 years before that, and I remember going into the cupboard in the kitchen, and I'm looking, I'm like, I counted 20-some medications. I'm like, what the hell? Damn. And my mother's like, well, that's what the doctor prescribes. I said, he's not the be-all, end-all. These doctors are not gods. They may think they do. They're God, but they're not, okay? And she would just be looking at me like, you are strange. Go away, young child. You know, that's how my mother thought of me. She's like, you are strange. Go away. So, but I mean, just all the side effects. I mean, my dad was on all this stuff for this and that medication for that. And it caused, I was like, really? But hey, his path, his life, you know, whatever, and her path too. Can you give us a brief overview of your book? I know I gave a brief overview in the introduction, but tell us what's your overview of this book, and go from there.
Well, I think it kind of puts such focus on your soul, really. I think the basic point I want people to remember is that when you were born, it was not the beginning of your life, but when you die, it's not the end of your life. It's just that your soul came into this dimension, and to function this dimension, you need a body. And eventually, whatever you work on in this lifetime, using this body, will be of great benefit to your soul if you can keep your eye on the prize and go for the soul goal, basically go for working on the challenges, because they're the real purpose why you're here, is the things that show up in front of you, the big lessons. These are the ones that can really help you move forward. And also, you may have to be paying off a karmic debt as well. This could be another thing there, like why things happen to good people. It may be a karmic issue that was happening to this person. I remember about a year ago, I remember one day walking down a street, and it wasn't quite straight, and one day I came across this guy, and I remember the way he was walking. He was almost like he was looking at the ground when he was walking. He had such a bad back issue. It's like when he was walking, he could not stand up straight or even at 45 degrees. He was almost like looking at the ground when he was walking. I said, I'd never seen somebody so hunched over. And he just dragged the bag along with him. I said, I felt that great compassion for him, because imagine you're trying to walk and you can't even look up straight. You're basically looking at the sidewalk as you walk along. I'd never seen this person before. And then a couple of weeks later, by me, a bus pulled in by a bus stop, and he got off the bus, and I said, I remember that guy. But I couldn't see his face because he was always looking at the ground. And then he walked up the street and he sat on a bench. And then I saw his face and our eyes connected. And I said, are you okay? And he had this kind of thing. He didn't have to say anything, but he said, keep away from me. You know, he just had that feeling. So I respected that and I pulled away from him. So I feel he's all like he's alienated. He's this person in this world carrying. He's like the hunchback, basically. And he feels that he's the only person in this world with this terrible suffering that he's dealing with. And then a couple of weeks later on the subway in New York, one day I was in the subway and this young guy walked up, and it was in the middle of summer and he's wearing a T-shirt, but I could see his back, and his back, you know, not only your back is like straight up, but his back was like somebody broke it, like a 2x4, and then you have this very high point in the middle of your spine, because I could see his T-shirt, and it had such a high point on his spine that the T-shirt was pulled right up over his spine. And I remember he walked up to the train, and he walked back, and he turned around, and his back was directly in front of me. So I think what happens is sometimes people come into our awareness because we have something to give that person. That's why we should never write off anybody. And I think it's good that we can offer compassion in a very subtle way, because I do feel these two people were basically had a karmic debt that they were paying off, that in the past they may have committed some atrocious crime, maybe broke somebody else's back, and now they have to pay off the debt by carrying themselves. But I think if we can just offer them compassion and just be at peace with that person and saying subtly, I offer you and bless you, and somehow give them some comfort, I think that's why they come into awareness. So pay attention to the people who come in, because I've seen them meet people who have some very bad back issues, and I do feel that's a karmic debt. And I remember, it reminded me of a book by Richard Garber, who wrote a book called Vibrational Medicine. He was talking about this very good medium and psychic in the UK many years ago, Geoffrey Hodgson. At one time, a person came to him who was going blind. He was having a tumor growing, a pituitary gland, tumor growing his pituitary gland, and he was losing his vision. And this guy was helping this guy with some health issues, but then he was able to see into his past lives, and then he see this guy back hundreds of years ago, and he's holding this like a poker, and at the end of the pole was like a fork, and it was red hot. And he see this guy sticking these poker into people's eyes, and it was during the Inquisition, and he was basically blinding people. So now this guy was paying off his karmic debt by losing his vision. So I think sometimes these karmic things come back. The karma is really about action, and it basically means if an action, there's going to be a reaction. So if you have a good action, there's a good reaction, and a bad action, bad reaction. So I think that's really what karma is, and sometimes these debts have to be paid off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That's interesting. Wow. I've heard that before. Like, you know, people who are killed or murdered, they may have killed or murdered in a past life or whatever. And people are like, damn, that's so cruel for you to say that. But it's the truth. You know, I'm just being honest here. What did you do?
I think we can't really see, because we're looking at one. It's like your soul is like a long movie, and then you have this one clip of it, and you're trying to make sense of this one scene in a movie that's 2 hours long. But you can't see the 30 other lives of this person that previously you don't know what they did. Mm-hmm. So if that's the culmination of what's happening in this moment, you really can't really get the whole insight, because you cannot see it from the soul level, because that's the only way you will really see the whole picture of why this person is, what's happening in this event, and so forth in their life. So I think I think the key in life is to be not judgmental of people, and people do pain as crime, but the thing with the soul is nobody escapes their action. There are consequences to actions, and there's no getting around that, which is good, because people say there'll never be any justice for what happened. But the problem is you can't escape your soul, because it's your real self. And imagine that you have this bio-directional fiber optic cable, that information is constantly flowing upwards and downward, because your soul, not all of your soul's energy comes with you. There's a lot of it still up in the spiritual realm. So you're getting constant information back and forth. So your soul knows exactly everything that's happening in your life. So all your actions are already in there. You can't escape that. Then you go back home in your incarnation. Then you're going to do a review of your life. So how did that life go? And then you may have done things you were not really proud of. And if they need to be corrected, then they will have to be corrected at some stage in another lifetime. So I think if we can be very conscious of our actions and really realize there are consequences to choices, and if we're present and aware, then we can really say in this moment, what's the best thing I can do? And sometimes we can do good things because, you know, we're not perfect beings, and our brain has a huge impact on the choices we make, because it's the organ of our personality. If we have a damaged brain, we may not do good choices. But the good things in the spiritual realm,
they are very compassionate beings. They're really helpless, and they really are not like judges down here who can't see all the information, and they will really help us to the best they can. And they want us to evolve. They want us to get closer, because really the driving force for the soul is to get connected with the oversoul, the absolute, to really get close to God. That's really what pulls and motivates the soul to evolve more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, karma, I always tell my clients this, when I say, why can't we, like you said, can't get, why when does this person get their comeuppance? And I'm like, A, karma knows where you live. It doesn't, it knows your address, whether you move this lifetime or many lifetimes. And sometimes you have to ask yourself, who did I piss off in a past life? That's all I have to say on that.
That's right, because I think if you read Michael Newton's books, we're part of a soul group, and most of
right.
the people in our soul group are right now in our lifetime, and these are the people who are like the actors in our play. When I open the book, I open the scene from Shakespeare's play As You Like It, and it's basically mm-hmm. the popular scene that says all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their entrances and their exits, and one man, a woman in their time, plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. So we're on the global stage, and we're all actors playing out a play, and it's the soul play, and all of these people in our very close environment, our family and friends and spouses and people, these are the actors, and these are the people we're playing out against, and it depends how well we do in this play, how well our soul will develop and evolve.
Mm-hmm. Yep, but it's still good to know that karma knows that person's address. Brings
yes.
me comfort. Brings me comfort, yes. Oh, my God. Were you always interested in health and wellness?
I wasn't actually, not till that event with that relationship. Up to that point, I had read only two or three books in my life, so... And even health and wellness, I was no interested in that. I was working construction. I worked as a mechanic. I used to clean okay. houses. So I didn't have any interest in spiritual. I didn't even know what the word meant. Didn't have any interest in holistic. But that event then segued in of the event and inquiring more and learning. Really, before I got into the health and wellness, my first thing was the brain. I was very interested in intelligence and geniuses, because I really wanted to figure out how did geniuses become geniuses. But I think we're all geniuses. The future's Buckminster Fuller said, we were born geniuses, but life de-geniuses us. So we're very close to geniuses when we were infants and children, because we had this wild imagination. We could imagine anything, but then we started moving from our heart to our head, and then we said, no, that can't happen. That's impossible, and don't be thinking, that's stupid.
Yeah, don't do that. You're crazy. You can't do that. Really? I did the opposite. When my parents would tell me or anybody told me I couldn't do anything, I would be the opposite, and I'd be like, no, I'm going to show you. And I usually did.
Well, that's good. At least you had the awareness to realize, because, you know, when we're developing, our spirit guides are talking to us, so I'm not sure when you were young, did you understand that there were these angels that were talking to you, and
mm-hmm.
these are
yes,
my friends, and my imaginary
yep.
friends, like, oh, there's Amy, she's talking again to her imaginary friend, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and they were like, we're going to commit this child. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And my mother was like, well, I grew up on this, because my grandmother, who would have been my great-grandmother, we did this stuff, so we'll just leave her alone. She's not crazy. Not yet. Seriously. How do you feel you help people?
I take the body-mind approach, body-mind and soul approach. Usually with a client, I really send them a health client intake form, because whatever their health issues, I really want to kind of, because their health history usually reveals a lot of information. So I'm like a detective who's trying to find a clue to solve a crime or something. I'm trying to find something in that client intake form. And then usually I would set a goal for the client usually. But it's not just any goal, it's called a SMART goal, which is specific, measurable, action-based, realistic, and time-oriented, all compressed into a goal. So I want the goal to be very specific to their issue. And once I tailor that goal to the person's needs, then I'll always clear emotions. There will always be emotions tied to a health issue. And I notice if you get the right goal and you clear the emotions, it can do wonders for the body. because those emotions really have such a big impact in our health and well-being that if we clear the emotional energy charge from our body, then the body kind of gets into a more harmonious, homeostatic place, you know?
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. I've experienced that with the energy work that I have done, you know, in my life. So, yeah, definitely. Get those issues out of the tissues, man. Ugh.
Yes. Yeah, one technique I've been doing is called the emotion code. Have you ever heard of that by Dr. Bradley Nelson?
No, I haven't. That's interesting. Do tell.
Yes, if you can get the movie called E-Motion, because an emotion is energy in motion, and came out in 2014, and he's one of the practitioners, and really, but he was a chiropractor, and he found most of the people's pain issues that came into his office was emotions trapped in their body. So he began to create this technique called the emotion code, and he wrote a book called The Emotion Code. And then when you start clearing the emotions, trapped emotions in the body, they're pain issues, because emotion is a trapped ball of energy, and it can get trapped in different areas of the body and get into the tissues, as you said. If you clear that emotional energy, then it allows the tissues to work in a more harmonious and healthy way.
Okay. Yep, they can. They can. So are you planning to write another book and using that S-O-U-L salutation or title?
I'm probably not yet. I want to get this book more. I'm actually, this week, I just started selling my book recently in Namaste Bookstore in New York City, which is a big spiritual bookstore, which I'm very happy with. And this weekend, the people are in New York City. I'll be doing a book talk about it. So if people are in the New York City area, come by Namaste Bookstore from 3 to 5, and I'll be talking about my book. But I want to kind of get this one out first and get more momentum. And then I will see, you know, what comes, because right now this one was such a collection of information. And I think, as you probably know, if you're preparing to write a book, it's a huge project because it takes a lot of time. And a lot of people who start books never finish them, or if they do finish them, they don't go on to release them. It takes up a lot of time and energy. And who knows what new information will come to me. And, you know, I think we're constantly changing. We're never the same person we were last year, the year before. We're constantly changing. So I may have new perspectives on different things or interest in new subjects. So I'm always open to new concepts and ideas. And the way healing is changing, and more of the energetic healing is coming in, and more organizations. I just recently saw that Teachers College, Columbia University, now has a program where you can study psychology, which you can also study under spirituality. And now you can earn a master's degree in that. True spirituality, the whole section on Teachers College. So it's getting in there, getting into the mainstream. And we see also now in the National Institute of Health, now we see on their website, they are looking at the biofield of the body. So they're looking at the whole energy field of the body, realizing that the biofield really is the whole energy template of how 30 trillion cells are communicating instantaneously. So kind of getting more in there. And there's a functional medicine out there, lifestyle medicine, precision medicine. So there are all these new forms, because they know the conventional model is no longer working. So,
right.
And we're spending $2 trillion a year in healthcare costs in the U.S. People are not getting healthy. So they just not it's not viable financially for them to keep going to the conventional model. So they have to take a more deeper look at the human being and realize these subtle energy levels have huge impact on our health and well-being.
Yes, definitely. So we're running out of time. I don't know where time goes when I have these shows. I'm like, what? Where can people find you? Where can people find your books? And where can people just find you, period? Because I feel like you're a valuable asset to where our conscience is shifting, thank God.
Thank God we finally got out of the ice age and we started waking up. You know, we have been long enough suffering. So people could reach me. They can go to my website, which is www.myname, which is J-A-M-E-S, and my surname, D-U-I-G-N-A-M.com. So that's my name again, James Dignam, which is J-A-M-E-S-D-U-I-G-N-A-M.com. And they can also email me at james@jamestuign.com, or they can contact me through form, which is 646 646-296-1669. That's 646-296-1669. So they are the two ways to get me. And my book then is available on Amazon, Solar Return. So if you just type it in, S-O-U-L-A-R, return. Make sure, because there's only one other name on the internet, on Google, with Solar Return. So you have to really look to just be play around a bit and go into Amazon and S-O-U-L-A-R, return. I'll put my name next to it, and then you'll find the book.
Okay, excellent. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, James. I look forward to your future books, because I'm sure you'll have many coming out of you. And maybe we'll have you back on the show when you do.
Okay. Thank you so much, Amy. I do appreciate it. And we hopefully the listeners will find some information that they can integrate into their life and live healthier and happier lives, because that's what we want to do, is share information that is empowering and inspiring. And that's why we're here. And thank you very much for having me on your show. And look forward to our next conversation.
Definitely. And, of course, my name is Amy Toy for Angel Answers with Amy Toy. You can Google my name. My website is amytoy.com. You can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, minds.com. That's a great social media site. If anyone's interested, minds with an S.com. And until next week, may the angels carry you through.